And our PhD in this science show is Philippa Voinovich from the Edith Cowan University, whose field is FIFO, flying in and flying out.
Well, in WA, you go to the Pilbara mainly. That's the vast majority, followed by Kalgoorlie, which of course is the goldfields, and then the Kimberley, which is up right in the north of Australia.
What's it like out there?
Hot, dry, isolated. It's another world. People often say it's like being taken from their home and put in a totally alien environment because the landscape's different, the weather's different, and the people are different.
And what about towns? What about the normal kind of places? One would imagine in some places, in my experience when I worked in the Snowy, there were some huts and there might be a pub, but there wasn't actually a community. There weren't houses with gardens and men and women and children.
Well, certainly in the 70s, they were largely just demountable camps. That's changed somewhat. So some of the sites are really quite luxurious. They have gym equipment, pools, barbecue facilities. The emphasis being on trying to make life as pleasant as possible in a really unique and isolated place. There's a big emphasis at the moment coming out from the WA Parliamentary Inquiry to try and create more of a community feel. There's been a lot of talk about FIFO workers living in towns. Well, in towns but separate. They're in their demountable camps, but they're not accessing the local community. And then there's all the reports about FIFO workers coming from the camps into the townships and causing trouble in the local pubs. The Queensland Parliamentary Inquiry is a lot about whether to utilise workers from the townships or fall back on 100% FIFO workforce. So we have a dichotomy here about what some people want and some people think is helpful or unhelpful. In my research and experience, trying to create links between the FIFO workers and the local communities is really helpful and beneficial, both for the workers to create more of a sense of community and connectedness, and also from the communities who can benefit not just from the workers spending their money, but making those connections. This is a young, fit, helpful workplace. They can go in and make a difference, join the local footy teams, for example, and this could help make better outcomes for everyone.
As a psychologist, how did you approach such a big field?
Well, I guess I was lucky. There was a study funded by Lifeline but carried out by researchers in Edith Cowan University, Pamela Henry, and her research found some important variables. So I built on her research, which was looking at how help seeking can be improved and how stigma can be slowly broken down so people feel more comfortable to talk about their mental health issues and to get support for them.
Loneliness, depression, or what?
Yeah, you've nailed it. Loneliness, isolation, depression, anxiety, stress, sleep problems. Of course, that's somewhat associated with the rosters and the shift work that people are on. Substance abuse. Certainly, there's been a lot of anecdotal reports about drug use, particularly amphetamine use, when workers back on their leave period, which is called their R&R, because they're not detectable by the drug screening policies, where some other substances like cannabis are. So substance use has been quite a problem and, as we know, is comorbid with mental health problems. There was a study done which looked at alcohol use among FIFO workers and found that there were much higher risk factors for alcohol-related harm.
How forthcoming were the workers when you turned up from your university? Nice middle-class person, big smile, long hair, and started to talk to them about their work. Did they tell you? Did they? Well, obviously they did, otherwise you wouldn't have any results. But how did they behave?
Well, to start with, I think everyone kind of looked at me and thought, oh goodness, what's she doing here? Yeah, she does look a bit out of place. But they gave me the safety gear and they gave me a hard hat and a high-vis vest and invited me to go underground. And I was very interested naturally in the conditions underground. My mother's a geologist, so I was quite interested anyway in the process of mining. So I think that helped a little bit. And of course, first thing I did after spending the day underground was to go to the pub with everyone else. And people slowly opened up. Talking about mental health is difficult and it's not something people are always so quick to do. On the other hand, they also knew that I was researching this for very good reasons. There's been a lot of reports about suicide rates and mental health problems among FIFO workers. And a lot of these guys had friends who were suicided. And they wanted to share the stories and talk about the divorces they'd been through and the financial problems. And I was really flattered that they were willing to open up and share that.
Were they noticeably different in terms of stats on these things than the general population?
Look, it's difficult to get the general population figures. There was the census data that's been done by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. That's found about one in five people have experienced a mental health problem over the last 12 months. So if we take that as a benchmark of the general Australian population, we can say one in five. In my research, 36% of workers scored above the clinical cutoff categories for depression, anxiety, or stress. So if we're taking that one in five to, what's that, a third of workers, we could say that appears to be an elevated rate, certainly.
Yes, quite substantial. And presumably, once you've got the figures, you can work out what may be some remedy. And you've hinted that already, providing community, making sure that the turnaround isn't quite as jarring and people can settle, people can adjust.
The parliamentary inquiries have made quite a lot of recommendations on things that will help. And some examples are peer support groups on site so that people can come together in an informal setting and talk about things that they're struggling with. Accessing counsellors or psychologists on site or in Perth is quite tricky, actually. All the companies have the employee assistance programs. They're only about 6% take-up rate, so that's not particularly effective. So we need to come up with some strategies on how to either improve the uptake of those services or provide different services that are better tailored to suit these workers. Another factor, I guess, linked to the workplace conditions is the travel times. So a lot of people are having very long commute times after they come straight off a shift. So they'll go on their 12-hour shift, go home in the morning, have a shower, and then get on the plane. Some people are travelling for up to 24 hours until they get back home again. So we see that is a 36 hours. So it's really extended period, being awake, working, travelling. And the stress on that emotionally and physically is quite significant.
And coming back home, is that a natural thing to do? Do you click in straight away if you're a normal person?
Most of the people that I've interviewed have talked about an adjustment period when they come home. It's sort of the work to leave transition period. So often they'll be really tired and they'll want to have some time straight to themselves. However, what a lot of people say is, oh, but I get home and my wife wants me to have the kids and I have to go see the in-laws. And so they're not getting the downtime that they want to have because being home has a whole lot of obligations attached to it as well.
And finally, what about the numbers? With the downturn in mining, have the numbers of fly-in, fly-out workers diminished?
Possibly somewhat, but probably no more than about 8,000 workers. And we've gone through a huge construction period, particularly in the Pilbara. However, as that ends, there's a core workforce of production people. So there will always be an amount of workforce there. And mining's here to stay in WA.
PhD candidate Philippa Voinovich, School of Business Studies, Edith Cowan University in Perth. The Science Show on RN.